In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
A lawyer came to Christ and asked him, which is the great commandment? Well, there are 10. Which one is he going to pick? No matter which one he picks, the lawyer is ready to argue the other 9 against that one. Jesus surprises him. He is, after all, the incarnate Son of God. The lawyer is no match for him. But Jesus' response opens up a whole new spiritual way of life. What less would you expect from the Son of God incarnate? His response, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. These two statements brought together by Jesus for the very first time are found in the Old Testament, but they are not found together. The first part is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 5. And the second part about loving your neighbor as yourself is found in Leviticus 19, 18. They had never been brought together. And where they are mentioned in passing, deeply embedded in the context of all of that sort of thing that you read about in Deuteronomy and Leviticus. If you've ever taken a look at Leviticus, you know what I'm talking about. They're buried there. But Jesus picks these two out of that old context where these two things were said in passing. And he brings them together and he says, this is the first and second commandment that together make the great commandment. Love God with all your soul, heart, mind, and your neighbor as yourself. St. Nikolai Vilimirovic explains the relationship between the Old Testament 10 commandments and what Jesus is teaching in the Sermon on the Mount and in the Beatitudes. St. Nikolai says that first we have to pass through elementary school before graduating into a higher school. Moses' 10 commandments are elementary. They are elementary. They do not encompass the fullness of the Christian faith. No, there is the practice of putting the Ten Commandments out in your yard. And you've heard me mention more than once, it might be nice if the Orthodox began the practice of taking the Beatitudes and putting them out in their yard. Because this is the Christian vision of what our life is meant to be, not simply obeying 10 commandments. St. Nikolai says that this great commandment, as Jesus gives it, was not emphasized in the Old Testament, because the human race was not at that time ready to receive them. This teaching is about love. It is about divine love. Now we know about love as it's found in the world. We know about passion. We know about desire. We know about the love of the things of the world. We know about the love of others for the sake of our own joy and satisfaction and all of the conflicts that come about because of the nature of worldly love and passionate love. But this teaching is about divine love. It's about God's love. It's Christ teaching human beings that we are capable of loving him, of returning love to him that is divine love like his love. We are capable of sharing in and participating in the divine love of God. And not just for God, but for others as well. And this is the new teaching. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, your neighbor as yourself. St. Paul teaches about love in this new Christian way. He says, love never fails. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Well, what is that which is perfect that comes? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ. The one who is fully God, fully man, reveals our humanity to us for the very first time. Often called by Orthodox preachers, the first fully human being. The first person who is what Adam was meant to be in the beginning, but fell from. Jesus Christ is the one who is perfect. He is the only one who is perfect. But his perfection is of a kind that we can share because we are created, after all, in the image and likeness of God as human beings. And so it is possible for us to share in the perfection of Jesus Christ. It is possible for us to share in the perfection of the divine love of God returning it to him, and also loving others with this divine love. When that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away with. The spiritual life limited by the Ten Commandments is fulfilled by Christ himself. He is the word. He is the message. The new law is Christ incarnate. When he speaks his commandments, and in the Sermon on the Mount, there are many commandments. It's been said that the Beatitudes themselves, they're not commandments. People who criticize this way of understanding things, people who believe that we are saved without the possibility of our participating in the divine, holy, and perfect life of God. Orthodox believe that that is salvation. Christ comes and he makes it possible for us to participate in his own divine life, and that is our salvation because we were created in the image and likeness of God. We were created to be like him, and we can't because of the fall. It changed the nature of things. It changed the nature of the world. It brought death into the world. When people are born into the world, they're born into a world where there is sin, suffering, and death, and there is no way for us to lift ourselves above and beyond that world. But Christ comes, the one who fulfills our humanity, and he lifts us up above that world. And so there is a new way of life in Christ. We are able to be as we were created to be from the beginning. There is a non-orthodox interpretation of the Beatitudes that I heard of. Only recently I ran into it. I thought, how do those who believe that we cannot participate in the divine life of Christ because of our ability to share his perfect humanity, being human and all, how do people who don't believe that, and outside of orthodoxy, they don't believe that, they say it's not possible for us to work in cooperation with God. What do they get out of the Beatitudes? All of those things that are called blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they are comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, the interpretation of those who believe that it is not possible for us to participate in God's divine life and his love is that those are blessings that God will give us. They read these things about mourning and being poor in spirit, and they say things like, should we go out and look for persecution? And I think to myself, if we are living a holy life in Christ, we will find persecution. The world is not happy with someone who tries to live a holy life. The world wants everything pared down so it's easy to live. And if you try to live as we were created to live, you will find opposition. Opposition from the forces of evil, frankly. Should we purposefully mourn? I don't understand this non-orthodox idea. We should all be happy. Don't you realize there are terrible things wrong with the world? There are people suffering and dying, no fault of their own, innocence. There are plenty of things to mourn about how things are in the world. Don't you think that Christ himself mourned the condition of the world? And he ascended the cross in order to destroy the power of death, to destroy the meaning of our lives, lived in this world. He took the world as it is, with the presence of death in it, and he made a way of life that is divine and holy, that united the suffering of all people to his own suffering so that all of us can overcome whatever suffering is in our lives. But there is plenty of reason to mourn. Innocents suffer everywhere. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. How can people say that it's not about mourning? But those who reject the idea that we can participate in God's own divine life and his divine love, what do they say that second beatitude means? They say it means that God will give you the blessing of comfort. No participation in mourning, don't you see? These are blessings that God will give. God will give you the blessing of comfort. God will satisfy your hunger and thirst for righteousness as a blessing, you see? No participation given to you as a blessing. This is not our understanding. An excellent bishop has put it this way. Jesus, the new Moses, gives the law on that hillside in the Sermon on the Mount, on the shore of the Lake of Galilee. So if you take the whole of the sermon, It is the law. But the law is the reality of Christ himself and the fact that we as human beings are meant to be living like the living law that is the Word of God. You see, it's not a set of laws, rules that are imposed on us. We participate in the reality of the law incarnate, the law of human beings, the law that shows what a human being is meant to be like is a law for us because we are human beings. This is the way a human being is meant to be. That's the new law. The bishop continues, the Beatitudes are the path that God indicates as the answer to man's innate, that's built-in, desire for happiness. This is the way of life that we have longed for as human beings, and now we are able to live it, and that is our salvation. Jesus Christ is our salvation because he makes it possible for us to live that life. St. Paul continues in 1 Corinthians, when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. The fullness of Christianity is a faith and a way of life for adults, not for children. God doesn't keep us children. He wants us to mature into the fullness of the stature of Christ. This is a spiritual challenge that is worth living life for. It's the content of our life. Jesus Christ calls us to rise toward spiritual maturity. Not to be a Christ separately, because we're not separate. Each one of us is involved with all of the rest of us. The devil separates himself out because he wants to dominate the world, and those who want to be separate from all others and God and have a dominant way of life and forget God and forget others follow Satan's example. According to the great commandment of Christ, we don't get to say, I am only human, a childish fallen sinner who can't do better, but I must be saved without my active participation. That is the non-orthodox, whittled down, like Lewis used to say, Christianity and water version of things. Someone comes to confession and says, well, Father, I've sinned, I confess my sin, but after all, I'm only human, so naturally I sin. Naturally I sin over and over. Naturally, it's not natural. God did not create us to be fallen human beings. And he did not leave us as fallen human beings. He came into the world to lift us up out of our fallenness through himself. When we say to ourselves, God understands and he loves me, even though I'm only human and I constantly do things that are not right and not good, and all I can do is accept his love, and I can't return it by participation, I'm talking about. See, it goes beyond gratitude for God's salvation. We return God's love by participating in his divine love. That was Jesus' answer to the lawyer. We return God's love by participating in his love. The commandment is love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself with God's divine love. The reality of the New Testament teachings, if you read them in the Gospels, is this. If we love God, we will keep Christ's commandments, and we can keep them if we love him. We begin to love with a love that is more than our own human worldly love, and guess what? We get to love other human beings with the same kind of love, at least a little bit, not completely. The old kind of selfish love is still there fighting with this new kind of love, and that's part of our spiritual struggle. But we do at least get to love others with this kind of divine love. In fact, we are commanded to love others with this kind of love. Reaching toward perfection through Christ is worship in spirit and in truth. Reaching toward Christ is worship. It is worship in spirit and in truth. We begin to do it here in the Divine Liturgy, and then we go out and we do it in the world, in our way of life, our liturgical way of life in the world. Liturgical. It's a big word. It just means in the common work of living our life in Christ. The common work. That's what liturgy means. Divine liturgy is that we do a work that we can only do along with God. And so we live life in the world by loving with this kind of love that we are now able to share in, that is God's love of us. Now, what will that be like? We won't go out as perfect human beings and just everything falls in front of us and everything goes perfect. It will be a constant struggle and effort, but everything we do will be meaningful because of it. Jesus Christ says to us, "Be ye perfect, because your heavenly Father is perfect." Our response can't be, "Tell me the rules about how to be perfect, and then I'll try and I'll see. I can't follow these rules, and that's the end of it." That's not the way it works. That's not what Jesus is offering to us. When he says, "Be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," what makes it possible for us to fulfill that? The Son of God makes it possible for us to be perfect as the Father is perfect through him, because the Son of God incarnate is perfect. Perfect God, perfect man. Be ye at one with Christ. Be ye good with the goodness and the holiness of Christ. Be ye good by way of repentance whenever you are not like Christ, and return to the goodness and holiness of Christ. We never lose it, because Jesus Christ never changes. He continues to be perfect, good, holy, all of the things that we desire to be in order to be able to love God as fully as a human being is capable of loving, and we see that revealed in Christ himself. I am not capable of it by myself. No one is, except for Christ. That is the new way of life. We respond to the love of our mother, St. Nikolai said, by returning our mother's love. By the time she is old and gray, and we are headed in that direction, we are able to return the love that she gave to us in the beginning, and love our mothers with the love that they gave us. It's the same between us and God. God initiates it. He loves us in a way that only God can love. Through his Son, he loves us. And during the course of our lives, we reach the point that we are able to return the kind of love, maybe not fully, maybe only somewhat, but the same kind of love that he gave to us. Toddlers do things one way. Adults do things another. The Orthodox Christian faith is Christianity for adults. It is the Christian faith as preached by Christ. It's not pared down so that we who think of ourselves as spiritually broken to the point that we cannot be human along with the full humanity of Christ, he does it all, I accept it. That much I can do. That's Christianity for adult children. It was never preached in ancient times. The irony is that it wasn't until people began to believe more in themselves than in God that Christianity came into existence. St. Nikolai says that when the Lord came, he came to rekindle the dead coal of love into a fire in the hearts of those who would become his children by adoption. By adoption. So that we become more and more like the Father who has adopted us into a place where we can say, along with the incarnate Son of God, our Father. The Son of God did not reveal himself until his adulthood. He didn't go out as a child and preach a childish Christianity. When he became an adult and reached his adulthood, he went out, was baptized by John, took our sins on himself, and began to preach and reveal the kingdom of God. As an adult to adults. Little children, he brought them to him as little children. But he preached to adults the fullness of the Christian faith. St. Paul says in Corinthians about the nature of love, love suffers long. It is kind. It does not envy. It does not behave rudely. Now, if we're listening to this with the ears of a child, our first impulse will be to demand this kind of treatment from others. It says in the Bible that love is kind. It doesn't behave rudely. And you have been rude to me. You're not doing according to the Bible. But that isn't the way it's addressed. It's not addressed to children so that they can use it to defend themselves against other people not treating them the way they think they need to be treated. It's addressed to us as adults. We are told not to be rude to others. regardless of how they are to us. That is divine love. The other kind of thing is not divine love. Demanding that kind of nice treatment from others, that's not love. It's not even demanding love. It doesn't even conceive of the kind of divine love that Christ brought to us. The great commandment demands that we treat others better than they treat us, regardless. And Paul continues and concludes, love does not seek its own. Love does not seek its own. What does that mean? When we are offended, we don't seek our little bit that we are owed, demand an apology. Love does not seek its own. It doesn't do that. Besides which, in this world, there is always fault on both sides. One demanding restitution from another, it takes us completely out. It's the equivalent of breaking one of the Ten Commandments. You know, when you break one of the Ten Commandments, you cut yourself off from communion with God. It's like that, only at a Christian level. We demand that from others. We are cutting ourselves off from the love that Christ preached to us as the new way of life. Jesus Christ, our Lord, commanded us to love God with all our hearts, minds, and our neighbor as ourselves. And this is in the Sermon on the Mount. And to love those who act as enemies to us. We are commanded to love those who act as enemies to us. This is the new commandment. Not blessings for doing nothing. Showered out on you. Beatitudes, what are they? Oh, they're blessings. God will strew these blessings on you. No, this is a description of the new spiritual life. How to live the new spiritual life. The love of a fully grown son or a fully grown daughter is not the same as the love of a toddler. There's nothing wrong with the love of a toddler. That's how they love. They put the whole of themselves into it. But adults, we are able to love in a mature way. We are not called to be toddlers, indulged by God, regardless of our actions. We are called to move toward the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And that was all contained in Jesus' answer to the lawyer. Which one of the Ten Commandments would you say is best? And we're taken out of the law court and we're brought into a teaching about life in the kingdom of God as one of the citizens of heaven, as one of the sons or daughters of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.